All right, guys, so traffic is still trying to recover from 225, an accident westbound at Borough. Slow from Tile over on the Katy Freeway, outbound right outside downtown. There was an accident there over to the right shoulder. That one has cleared. On the West Park Tollway, slow moving from Highway 6 on 259. Mostly sunny this afternoon with a high 59, 45 degrees right now from the Trail and Wheel Frame Weather Desk. I'm Elia Escobar, Sports Radio 610.
A sports genius, a former NFL player, and a millennial bro. This is Mad Radio with Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, and Paul Gallant.
You know, what's your name, though? The loudmouth. What's your name?
My name is Seth C. Payne.
This is Mad Radio, presented by Allstate Siding and Windows on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
There was a little silence after that, which made it sound like an action movie when you said that, Seth.
Yeah.
What was that? That was weird. I didn't know why he was... I was waiting to see where he was going to go with it, but he just wanted to be able to call me by name. Very good. You could tell he had the motivation. He had a lot of the motivational speaker. I don't want to say ploys, but strategies and tactics.
That was my favorite moments of the interaction.
I don't doubt that guy, Patrick Bet-David, has a big social media following. Like, some people buy
followers. That's 70,000 on Twitter, and it seems like it's legit.
His YouTube, because YouTube's where the big money is at, and he's got like a million subscribers on YouTube. But I don't, where does he, brought up the $200 million one.
Yeah, that was a lot of money.
I've always wondered, like, if you do actually have $200 million, why are you working full-time as a motivational speaker? So I don't know, maybe that's true, maybe it's not. That's the one I'm skeptical
maybe
of.
Maybe he meant that his company or companies are worth hundreds of millions or produce hundreds of millions.
A lot of times people mistake revenue for profits, and that annoys the hell out of me.
Agreed.
When people do that.
So
I don't want to be that guy.
You know what doesn't annoy the hell out of me? You know, when you get a nice reward after accomplishing something great. And whoever wins the Super Bowl is going to get a Lombardi trophy, pass it around, kiss it, get some Super Bowl rings as well. And unfortunately, the Houston Texans will not be doing that this season. But Sean Payton decided that he was going to bring in some extra motivation for his New Orleans Saints before they take on the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend to open up the playoffs. And I think it's interesting that Sean Payton is looking for, well, financial items to motivate his team given history.
Yeah. So what did he bring in?
So Sean Payton brought in three armed guards, a stack of more than $200,000 in cash. I'm curious as to how high that would be. The Vince Lombardi trophy and a Super Bowl ring into the team meeting room on Monday to give his players added motivation. The cash represents how much money they would make in playoff bonuses if they were to go all the way. It's a total of about $201,000
per person.
Per person, yeah. Right. So Drew Brees said he knows why Sean Payton pulled off this stunt.
I think just Sean trying to give everybody a vision, you know, especially the young guys as to, you know, obviously what we're after and the opportunity that we have, especially as the one seed, you know, just knowing that, man, we control it, you know, and it all comes through this place if we work hard enough and we allow that, you know, and first things first, you know, this game's the most important game of the season.
With the asterisks that it is not for bounties. This is not part of the bounty program.
No. Yeah, that's why it's weird to have a stack of cash.
Just a little bit.
Like, because remember, Sean Payton signed off on that. He contributed to the fund of Bountygate back when Greg Williams was paying guys to injure people. I don't even have to say allegedly, right? That was proven.
Yeah,
they admitted to it.
Yeah.
So, and that, well, no, I don't. Persons have admitted it to me, like, off the record. Actually, on air. We have the guy that... Anyway, Paul, you asked how tall is the stack of 200-and-some thousand dollars. Kind of underwhelming, actually.
I would think it would be.
The
yeah.
height of a stack of $100 bills unused would be 2.15 inches tall. If they've been used, it could be up to 4 inches tall. Hmm. So I'm guessing, though, when you go like, hey, I need $200,000 in cash, typically you're not going to get wrinkled up bills from somebody. See if my drug dealer's got these laying around or something. So the crisp ones, but I guess I would request it in 20s.
I'd request it in ones.
Ones, yeah. Like,
that
you
way
want it to look like
huge,
a big old stack of cash.
Right, because, I mean, otherwise it's going to kind of look like a mediocre drug bust.
You come in.
like, oh, wow, there's a trophy, a ring, and $200,000.
What are the chances, because Sean Payton at some point, like, what if Sean Payton, it was like 4 hours before the meeting, and he tells his poor personal assistant, like, hey, give me a stack of $215,000, because I want this for this meeting. Then it would totally just be a couple of hundreds with some fake dollars underneath it, which is like a kind of, some people have pulled in the press conference before.
I'm wondering how he did this logistically, how he got that money.
Because when you're getting $200,000 in cash, I've gotten out
not
cash.
Not easy.
I've paid people in cash for things before, not drug-related, but also maybe things that I didn't necessarily want a paper trail about, like paying for family members, various things.
Fair enough.
You get a certain amount, you raise eyebrows when you get out a big old chunk of cash. Records are kept.
Yes.
Yeah, so somebody had to go and be like, hey, I need $215,000 in cash, NBD.
Yes.
Just don't ask any questions, okay? We cool with that? So it might have been that same poor personal assistant, like, had to go and fill out paperwork, and now she's on, like, the DEA watch list.
Look, I think what Sean Payton's doing is something that Patrick Bet-David would definitely approve of, because it's all about visuals. It's not actually about accomplishing anything. You want to, like, lay something out there so that people can see the attainable goals right in front of them. I'm curious as to what Bill O'Brien would be doing if he's in this very situation. They're going on to take on the New England Patriots, and you would think to yourself, well, you're playing the Patriots. The Patriots always beat you. Beat the Patriots. Is there really any other motivation needed? But what would Bill O'Brien do? And Seth, I'm sure that you have had some coaches in your time that have used very bizarre motivational ploys to get you going.
You know what? One of the best ones, and you would appreciate this, Paul. It was he told a story about Sparta. I can't even remember which battle it was, because I think Sparta ended up getting their asses kicked, actually. But he kind of came in and he told this long story about Sparta going into battle.
Thermopylae?
It might have been Thermopylae.
They fell at the Persians. It was about, according to legend, which has been hyperbolized a little bit. It was like 300 Spartans versus about 20,000 Persians.
So anyway, his basic deal, though, was the story, mostly to tell the story about Sparta and how when they would go off to war, they would, you know, forget their families and leave their families behind. And all it was you'd get this ticket. Every soldier had a ticket, and they would tear half your ticket so that after the battle, the guys who were living would give the ticket back in, and they'd know who died and who didn't and who was missing and who was there. But somehow, and I can't remember how he twisted it, it turned into, like, I'm taking tickets. And his whole, it was just so Tom Coughlin, because it was a good story. It was a really good story. But the basic message was, forsake your family. I'm taking tickets. But it almost worked, because this was the first time we had never beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh before. This is when I was with the Jaguars. So we'd never beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh before. Pittsburgh were the big dogs in the division. That was who, and people in Houston can appreciate this, like, that was who was holding Jacksonville back from being truly great. We had to knock them off. That was the whole goal. The team was built to beat Pittsburgh. So it became like, I'm taking your ticket. But it kind of worked, because it was one of those things that was so kind of goofy and ridiculous that you still latched onto it. And we were yelling, like, I'm taking tickets. Who's got a ticket? We're taking
so
tickets.
So it becomes somewhat sarcastic and ironic.
And we went up to Pittsburgh. Yeah, and it was like a late fall game. It was cold as hell. It was classic Pittsburgh Steelers environment.
And you won?
This wasn't in Three Rivers, and we won. Yeah. So afterwards, you're having fun. You're taking tickets and everything. Yeah. So
how would you have reacted, let's say, if you were in the Saints' position and you walk into the locker room yesterday and you see 200 grand and the Super Bowl ring and the Vince Lombardi Trophy?
That'd be fun.
Okay.
That'd be fun, because it's going to be like, that's kind of like, yeah, look at, especially when it's like Sean Payton doing it. Whenever the coach, whenever like the middle-aged or older football coach does something where like he's clearly trying to relate to the players a little bit, you know he's trying. Like,
so you give him props for trying?
Yeah, you give him props for trying. It's kind of fun. It's just like, yeah, Peyton, and maybe you recited some rap lyrics. If you recited some rap lyrics,
ooh,
the crowd goes wild. Yeah, oh, it's awesome. Anytime they drop I remember our old defensive line coach, Bob Carmelowitz, he just did, he quoted like a Busta Rhymes rap and the room went nuts.
I feel this state, Texas head coach Tom Herman is probably the best at putting some sort of motivational ploy into the build-up to a game. I think Jason Garrett is probably worst.
I don't think so, yes.
I'm trying to imagine what Jason Garrett would do going up to their game this round against the Los Angeles Rams. He's like, all right, guys, well, I don't always use swears, but we got to bleep and get these guys.
It's scripted in front of him. One of our listeners says B.O.B. would bring $210,000 in modest return savings bonds.
CDs.
Bill O'Brien brings in a wheel of cheese, Vandy, McLean, and unlimited passes to treasures.
Actually,
that's from Drip King.
Did he say Vandy?
Does he mean something else?
I would say Vandy is someone who I would pay to be a motivational speaker for any group or company.
Yeah.
Because I think Mark is pretty good at that sort of thing. I would hope that O'Brien, and Paul asked the question, what would O'Brien do to motivate his players before a game like this, like Sean Payton did? I would hope before a hypothetical game against the Patriots, he like toned it down as much as possible. Because I would not want, based on the recent history against the Pats, for them to like overhype or do all these motivational things.
I think maybe, and the texter brought this up, bonfire for the Letterman jackets, or you go Tony Sperano, RIP, and you bury the Letterman jackets
bury
like he
the
buried
ball.
The ball.
Tony Sperano
rest in peace.
Just died, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
It hurt
the Vikings.
Paul said rest in peace.
RIP.
Oh, that's right. He's the offensive line coach of the Vikings. I forgot that happened just this summer. It felt like 2 years ago. No, I think that the Letterman jackets is a real thing, and I don't want it to be a real thing, and I've always been in denial about it, and I don't think of it for superstitious reasons, but it does now all of a sudden, it puts you in this corner where you're like, well, we really can't. You can't pull off some smarmy anything there because then it doubles down.
Gotta win.
And like, usually with stuff like that, I'm like, screw the haters. I don't care what anybody on the outside says. This one is kind of real.
Oh,
like,
definitely.
You can't be too outward. Like until you just, all you have to do, it's like the kid that's getting bullied. All you can do is keep showing up and keep fighting the bully and keep getting your ass kicked until one day your growth spurt hits. And then really, you know what, and like this is what happened in my case. I felt bad for the bully. I had this kid, Sam, that used to bully me when I was a sophomore in high school. By the time I was a senior, he came back. He was a freshman year. I almost got into a fight with him at a party. And I ended up I just couldn't do it. I felt bad for him. I pitied the guy. And especially the guy that I was checking on Facebook every now and then. I really pity him. So bullies out there. Don't be a Sam. Burn the bonfire the Letterman jackets. You'd have to find some. Sean Cody still has his. Cause he'll troll people every now and then by putting the old Letterman jacket on.
Do you think JJ Watt still has his?
I don't know.
I think he's probably gotten like the corner of a closet.
They gave us those one year in Jacksonville, and it was kind of cool. It's kind of dope.
Well, that's the maybe not ironic part, but they are cool.
If they had done it any other time other than going up to face the Patriots,
any other time against any other team,
if they had just kind of, and again, this is where social media fires into it, because this was kind of like a cool thing by players. Usually in the NFL, it's hard to get camaraderie in the locker room. Like that defense had genuine camaraderie. And like they were doing it just as kind of like, hey, let's have a high school feel to this. That's really cool. It should have been an awesome thing. You just did it on the way up to the Patriots and you put it on social media. That was the problem.
So Patrick Bet-David upset a lot of people in Houston by tweeting that Deshaun Watson is the next Dwight Howard.